SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two. At the Races here on SiriusXM. Just going back and forth with Jeremy Plonk and Jeremy. Jeremy urging the ExpressBet wagering guide to be delivered upon him as early as possible tomorrow. So I've got. Probably even happier that I am going to wait a day and go to New York after tomorrow's show, so I can get this. This has got to make some tough decisions here. We're going to talk when we get the chance. The Baffert not only did Justify work terrific, but Restoring Hope actually went out before him, and he's going to stretch back out, and Belmont is getting very little conversation. So he's got to be looked at. And I gave you the Gronkowski thought earlier. Bravazo, Blended Citizen,
while being on the cutting edge,
and of course Hofburg, who I think is already a lot of people's upset play, upset horse of choice, laying in wait a little bit. John White is, there we go, now we got John. We have to switch over to some phone issue, but John joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I would say that based on what we've seen from Justify in recent days, but most particularly today, those rivals are in big trouble, I think, at Big Sandy. I think all systems are go. You're going to, of course, hear from the master, Bob Baffert, here with you. But, boy, things just really seem to be shaping up so well for him. And so much was made of him dropping in the buyer speed figure department. First time that he hadn't triple digit buyer. It was his first buyer below a 101 when he got a 97 in the Preakness. And but when you look at what he's going to be running against in the Belmont, a 101 or higher in all of but one of Justify's career starts hours over who he's going to be running against. Of his prospective Belmont starters, only one horse has ever recorded a buyer speed figure equal to or higher than Justify's worst buyer of 97, and that was Vino Rosso, who got a 98 when he won the Wood Memorial. And other than that 98 for Vino Rosso, his next best is 90. So, I mean, the only hope almost that the competition has against Justify and the Belmont is if he took a step backward from the Preakness, and I just don't see that in the cards here, to be honest. I think what we looked at in the Preakness is exactly what we saw from American Pharoah in the Derby. The Derby was the race that was, if they were going to stop American Pharoah in his Triple Crown, it was the Derby he was vulnerable. The Derby that Espinoza had to use the whip so much. The Derby where Gary Stevens gave a Gary Stevens typical great ride in a big race on Firing Line and was right there to capitalize if Firing Line was good enough to get the job done. But American Pharoah was so great that even when he didn't run his absolute best, he won. And Justify, I mean, again, he never got a breather in that Preakness. The more you think about that race, it was such a fantastic race, really, in that it was the first time that he really got a big test, and he passed the test. Now, did he win by daylight? No. Did he win by his smallest margin? Yes. Was it his worst buyer speed figure? Yes. But he's such an athlete, and to me, he's going to be so well-suited to Belmont Park with his size and his beautiful way of going that, boy, you know, like you said earlier today, you can't say, is he going to win? You know, I mean, you just can't. We've seen too many horses go to the Belmont with a chance at the Triple Crown and not win. So we all, look, Spectacular Bid didn't win the Belmont. To me, you can always start right there. But, boy, I think they're in big trouble trying to knock this guy off.
Now, this work in particular has got to be kind of encouraging, because you do look for signs that that an edge is kind of showing itself, and you know, there's plenty of horses, and you know, there's over a week obviously to go, you got 10 days to go, but there's historically you're looking for some signs that, you know, that the, not that the wheels are coming off, but that, you know, that a horse is fried. I mean, things have taken their toll, and it doesn't look like that. I even suggested to John going into Preakness, where I said, you know, this is not necessarily the place to try to beat him for betters. If you're coming at this from a purely wagering perspective and without sentiment, then you line up against him in New York. That's just the right and the normal horse player approach to this scenario. If you want to add the sentiment in and you add some emotional baggage, I suppose, it's hard not to be encouraged by, you know, by what you see. And guys like Baffert and Mott as well, pretty famous in this regard, can be easy reads. I mean, when Mott goes into a race and he's outwardly, you know, beaming and upbeat, that you can see it, and that's been a good formula. And Baffert, I would read his tea leaves as very positive. I mean, we're waiting to, you know, see some of the video conversation from yesterday. Marty McGee's piece recapping the morning is up at DRF as well. But this was really an all signs go kind of a morning.
Absolutely, and to me, there's a real comfort level in terms of that we're not dealing with a trainer that is unfamiliar with trying to win the Triple Crown here. He's done it, for Pete's sakes. And he, not only has he done it with American Pharoah, he came within an eyelash of doing it with Real Quiet, came close with Silver Charm. In other words, he's so experienced in this situation. Another plus, Mike Smith, to me. Not only is Mike Smith now nicknamed Big Money Mike for good reason, because when the big money's on the line, I don't think there's any rider in America you really would want to have more going for you than Mike Smith. But not only that, he's so familiar with Belmont, which can be a tricky track for a rider to ride if he hasn't ridden there very much. And Mike is very comfortable on that track. He's had a lot of, he was a regular rider there for years. So that's a big plus. I mean, there's just so many things that are positives here. That said, you've got to run the race. It is a mile and a half. I mentioned how he Justify has such a buyer speed figure advantage, but you've got some nice horses lining up here that are dangerous. You know, Hofburg, to me, I had my eye on him coming down the lane in the Derby. Right after the race, I remarked that I said, boy, the way Hofburg finished here and the way he galloped out, well, you better watch out for him in the Belmont. So I was already thinking, I was surmising that Mott would sit out the Preakness, of course, which made total sense. And Belmont himself is always dangerous. You know, I can see, as well as Hotberg ran in the Derby, I understand why Mott ran him there. And that was the big telltale sign that Mott was even running such a lightly raced horse in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's just not Mott-like. And so, you know, that horse is dangerous. And so, it's not a foregone conclusion. But, boy, as I say, I think they're in big trouble trying to beat this guy. The way his physique is, his confirmation, his way of going and so forth, you just get the feeling that Belmont is just going to be those turns, those sweeping turns with his size. I just think it should be a beautiful fit. So I did want to mention, you were talking about that Breeders' Cup turf. So I did the research this morning, and 13 horses ran in that Breeders' Cup turf last year. And of those 13 horses, 7 of them have won since the Breeders' Cup turf. Talismatic, Highland Reel, Saddler's Joy, It's in the Post, Cliffs of Moher, Bigger Picture, and Hunt. So 7 of the 13 have won. 4 of the 13 have not run since then, so either, you know, they retired or what have you. Altogether, those 7 horses that have won since the Breeders' Cup turf, they're a combined 10 for 24 in their starts since the Breeders' Cup turf, which is pretty darn good.
It's an amazing. The first thing I thought of when Hunt surged late, he had won as well. He won his first start out coming back from the cup, but it's remarkable what you had there.
In fact, I missed that one, so he's 2 for 2, so that makes it 11 for 25. It would be the total for that. So
44%.
11 for 25.
Yeah. Just 44%. That's unbelievable.
I mean, it really is pretty amazing. And
it is.
Hunt went back and looked at my program where I write the morning line. I started him off at 5 to 1, and then as you're trying to balance the race, I raised them to 6, and then I reluctantly raised them to 8. And the reason I did, more than anything, you know, he hadn't run since the Seabiscuit last fall, and this is a tough race. You knew that Heart to Heart was going to get a lot of play, and I knew that Bowie's Heroes was going to get a lot of play. And that's going to push up the prices of the other horses to some extent. And so I did reluctantly raise him to 8, and he went off at 9. But And Heart to Heart, I am such a Heart to Heart fan. And I don't feel so bad that he lost the photo finish. This is the 4th trip he's taken here to Southern California, the 4th time he's been beaten. But I don't feel as bad this time because he's got those 2 grade 1 wins on his resume. And until he finally got that first grade 1, to me, I felt so bad for him. He was so deserving of a grade 1 somewhere along the line. And I'm so glad that he got it. He not only got it, but he got his first one in 1 1/8, which I think shows a lot for him. But I'm a huge Heart to Heart fan. And, hey, he got beat, but, boy, he sure ran a heck of a race in defeat. As you mentioned, I mean, he was running his heart out in those final yards trying to come back on against Hunt, and that certainly was a very fine effort in defeat for Heart to Heart.
Well, and since we morphed into this direction, let's talk a little bit about the 3-day weekend, John, and the racing was really good and was paying attention, particularly on Saturday and then into yesterday. I had Jim Cassidy yesterday. That win by Sophie P. And Cassidy, another guy who, he always feels pretty good about what he's leading over, but that morning, but might have been Tuesday or Wednesday, leading toward the Santa Anita Derby card, and I said, "You're running anything this weekend?" He said, "Sophie P." And that was a sneaky good effort that she had turned in the Royal Heroine. And there were a few savvy types, and I just included her in the multi to be safe. I was going back to Madame Stripes in that race, who I felt was on the wrong part of the racetrack at Churchill in the Distaff Turf Mile, and she ran a nice race. I mean, she got swamped late by Sophie P and Madame Dance-a-Lot, but. That whole group in the Gamely, they're all pretty good. Beau Recall was a little bit further back. Hawksmoor got taken out of her game, you know, right off the bell. But the Gamely, very productive, I think, too. Look going forward. The Gold Cup might be the last one ever. We had Sadler yesterday, and he's done a tremendous job with Accelerate. Some thoughts about the weekend performances.
Well, you mentioned Sophie P, and first of all, I have such respect for the job that Jim Cassidy has done overall, but especially with these fillies and mares that he gets from Europe and brings them here. And he's been doing this year after year after year. It's just remarkable, really. And this was just a vintage of Kent DeSormo ride. He rides that turf course so well. I mean, he rides everything so well. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame, but It's actually very fun to watch Kent at the top of his game ride these turf races. And this is a mare that, you know, when I was making the morning line for this race, it was kind of tricky with her because I thought her race actually in that Royal Heroine, something my late father taught me many, many years ago when reading past performances, it isn't so much where they finished, in other words, first or fifth or seventh or eighth, but how far they got beat. And Sophie P. only got beat three lengths in that Royal Heroine. Considering it was her first race in this country, and it was a mile, now she's stretching out to a mile and underneath, has that race under her belt. I thought she was dangerous. Now, I started her off at 10-1 because she was 11-1 in that Royal Heroine last time. I thought she would be a similar price, and I ultimately, to balance the race again, had to raise her to 12. And Sophie P., ended up at 14, which was a very nice price on her, really. And as you say, that's an overall strong group, I think. As far as the Gold Cup, wow, what a job John Sadler has done with Accelerate. And wow, what a weekend for Looking at Lucky. You know, Bob Baffert, because he's had American Pharoah and Arrogate and now Justify, I think people tend to almost forget that he trained a very good two-time Eclipse Award winner in Looking at Lucky, was a really nice horse, a champion at two and a champion at three. And since Spectacular Bid was the champion two-year-old male at two and three, there have been only two others to do that. American Pharoah was one, and the other was Looking at Lucky. And Looking at Lucky, it was an exacta for him with Accelerate and Dr. Door. And then, of course, Money Multiplier went into Grade 2 Monmouth in New Jersey. So what a weekend for Looking at Lucky. And Accelerate became the 10th horse to win the Santa Anita Handicap at a mile and a quarter and the Hollywood Gold Cup at a mile and a quarter in the same year. The others were Kayak, the second back in 1939, Noor, Ak-Ak in 1971 when he was the first Eclipse Award Horse of the Year, and Ak-Ak won the Gold Cup under 134 pounds for Charlie Whittingham. Crystal Water in 1977, The Great Affirmed in 1979 in his four-year-old campaign after he had become a Triple Crown winner in 1978, the very popular Lava Man. Hit it twice. 2 years he won both the Big Cap and the Hollywood Gold Cup, 2006, 2007. Game On Dude won the final Gold Cup at Hollywood Park in 2013 after he had won the Santa Anita Handicap earlier in the year. There's Bob Baffert again. And then Melatonin in 2016 won both the Big Cap and the Hollywood and the Gold Cup at Santa Anita now, and then Accelerate this year. So only 10 times as it happened with nine different horses because Lava Man had done it twice.
Now, it's a nice list.
That's a pretty good accomplishment. I mean, really, when you think about it, to win those two. And now what Accelerate will try to do, he'll try to become the third horse to sweep the three big races in Southern California for the older horses. He'll go on to the Pacific Classic, probably with a start in San Diego, as you heard from John Sadler on your show yesterday. And, of course, he ran third in the Pacific Classic last year behind Collected and Arrogate. But as you, I like the way you put it, this time pretty much they got Accelerate to beat in that Pacific Classic this year. But if he wins it, he'll be the third horse to sweep the Big Cap, the Gold Cup, and the Pacific Classic. Lava Man and was the first one to do it, and Game On Dude were the only two that have been able to sweep the big three.
In addition, of course, to the grade ones, the Shoemaker and the Gold Cup and the Gamely, we have the Whittingham too, and it's in the post. I tried to, I wasn't trying to get clever per se, but I did try to get a couple of prices involved. And Kenji Storm, who absolutely, I have no complaints with Kenji Storm's try, and Frank Conversation, who I knew was going to be overlaid a little, and he ran well, but it's in the post. Mullins just grinding out one good performance after another with him, and even when he, you know, when he gets beat, it's something you just shrug off. I mean, this is really kind of a dream horse to have. I've got nothing but respect.
Oh, I mean, it's just been an absolute gem of consistency. I mean, what a year he's had already. I mean, we're not even to June, and he's won four out of five starts this year, all running in graded stakes races. And this was just his typical go out. And I mean, he's kind of like a lunch pail type thoroughbred that I like. That, you know, he just kind of clocks in and goes about his business and then clocks out at the end of the day. I mean, he's just a solid horse, and really, again, a testament to Jeff Mullins here, the job he's done, because it takes training skill to keep a horse, you know, at a level of such consistency to where, and especially at this high level when you're running in the graded stakes, because these races do take a toll. I mean, they just do, and they'll tail off and go off form, and then need a break, but Mullins knows exactly which buttons to push, when to give them a little bit of a rest, and when to crank them up, and when to ship them, and when not to, and everything. And really, it's just a wonderful story, and he's just one tough cookie in these grass races. I mean, he's you know, you just can't help but admire this horse, for sure.
What have you tried to set the pace? The disappointment in here was Syntax, who really didn't lift a hoof.
Yeah, and he was kind of I could kind of sense he was going to get a lot of support in the wagering
he did.
Here. A lot of people, for some reason, a lot of the people have really been on him for quite a while, and it's one of those I quite haven't totally understood it. It's not that I don't think he's a pretty nice horse and everything, but he was one that, if I were making my own personal line, I would have made him a higher price myself. I'm not as big on him as a lot of people that I know and respect. And the fact that a lot of people I know and respect like him so much is why I give him his due on the morning line. I made him 4-1, close second favorite. I was a little surprised Flamboyant didn't get a little more play, because I know that Syntax had the troubled trip up at Golden Gate in the race that Flamboyant won. And I know Flamboyant isn't exactly a win machine. He doesn't win all that often, but that was a pretty nice win that Flamboyant did have up north. And through the years, I know a lot of times, like the Thoroughgraph people and so forth, have gone on to Flamboyant in a lot of spots. So he's a horse that I keep an eye on in terms of not wanting to make too big of a price, because of the fact he's gotten a lot of respect from a lot of betters through the years. So, but in this case, they were very soft on him, and the betters were right. I mean, he really wasn't a threat.
A couple of other notes from Saturday. I tried to single baby Gronk in the pick five, but I was sure to use Fashionably Fast, who was the obvious other horse that came in the pick four. And the pick four was a good way to salvage the action Saturday for 350 and change. But that Fashionably Fast came back with a nice number. This is a Harris Farm homebred by Lucky Pulpit out of a forestry mare. And Dean Peterson sent out this three-year-old. The 84 buyer coming out of this race. And this is a nice horse. Keep an eye on Fashionably Fast and Baby Gronk. You know, the two of them were a dozen lengths clear of the rest of that field. So both of them are nice calbreds. You know, Baby Gronk won't be a maiden much longer.
Well, and then there was quite a bit of interest in what happened at Santa Anita on Sunday, because the single ticket jackpot got hit for $217,000 with a $96 ticket.
Nice.
It was purchased through TwinSpires, and that was nailed with Jimmy Chilla for the, I talk about a red hot barn. And you know, one thing about Doug O'Neill through the years here in Southern California, he's got maybe one of the, if not the streakiest barn. I mean, he goes through these cold spells and then he gets absolutely red hot. And it's something to keep in mind, because when Matt O'Neill barn gets on one of these rolls, you just better try to climb aboard as much as you can. And Jimmy Chilla, who had been absolutely dusted as a maiden in the Santa Anita Derby by Justify, got a field here that he could beat on the turf. But this was a very good race in defeat by Paddock Pick, and I really had to feel sorry for whoever it was that had bought a ticket for, like, it was something like $32 or $36 in Pomona in the pick six, and was alive to Paddock Pick as the single ticket winner. So this photo finish came down to a lot of money on the line here between those two horses. And with Jimmy Chilla getting the victory, that person got $217,000. A person who had the 30-some-dollar ticket purchased in Pomona, they had to settle for the one consolation, and they got $525.60. So, boy, talk about a difference in for a half a length. One guy for over $200,000, the other guy $525.60 he collects. So that is one tough beat for whoever that was in Pomona.
Good point. And in addition to the Jimmy Chilla win, and you mentioned O'Neill, he also won earlier on the card, early in the action. They had the two-year-old group, and he had that Street Boss colt for the Redhams and ERJ. Toothless Wonder, Street Boss out of an Awesome Again mare, and in one of these 4.5 furlong two-year-old races. And I thought Toothless Wonder was a nice winner, and was the only horse in the field that had made a start. Baffert, we know, is on his way to the airport, so we're trying to get him. If we don't get him today, we'll get him tomorrow back home California. But Marley's Freedom better sit up and take notice as to, you know, what's going on with her as well, because that was just an overwhelming effort the way she took the Desert Stormer. And okay, it was a, you know, against four foes, but it's her first stake win, and I thought it was pretty impressive. First start for Baffert.
Well, you mentioned Toothless Wonder. What was interesting, we had the two-year-old race on Sunday, taken by, as you mentioned, the only horse who had had any racing experience, and the same thing happened yesterday with Time for Kisses and Gary Sherlock. So that's something I've noticed through the years here at Santa Anita, where we kick off the two-year-old action on this circuit, is that that is something that happens quite frequently, where you'll get a field and of these two-year-olds, and only one horse, maybe two sometimes, have racing experience. And it's pretty remarkable how often that those horses that have already got a race under their belt, that's who ends up winning the race. As far as Marley's Freedom, as you mentioned, yes, it was a small field, but look, she absolutely creamed Miss Sunset. Miss Sunset has a really nice filly. She came within an eyelash of winning the Grade 1 Madison at Keeneland against Finley's Lucky Charm. Had beaten a lot of really good ones in there, like Lewis Bay and American Gal. I mean, Miss Sunset is a really top sprinting filly, and Marley's Freedom just drilled her. I mean, just cleaned her clock. And that was, and this is one of those situations where the buyer certainly goes hand in hand with what you felt like you saw visually, because it was a visual wow. And from a buyer's deep figure standpoint, it was a wow, too. She got a 105, taking her game to a much higher level than she'd ever been at before. Her 96 had been her highest previously. So this puts her squarely in the picture here for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint at Churchill. There's no question about it. She's one of the major players for that, I would think.
Absolutely. This is a serious performance. And then on the flip side, on the turf sprinting fillies and mares, Belvoir Bay, it continues to just amass winnings. And the performance in the Monrovia, that's what, her third or maybe fourth time. Well, she's won a bunch of times, I think, down the hill, but it's at least her second or third success. Yeah, she's won, let's see, she was 3-for-4 coming in down the hill, and now 4-for-5. And yeah, won the San Simeon. Actually, her other graded stake wins, she won the Torrey Pines at Del Mar on the main track, and the Senator Maddie going short. So she's really 5-year-old mare, and this was a nice performance. Gary Barber and Team Valor, Belvoir Bay, takes the Monrovia.
She got a career best buyer here too, a 101. Then this is something that we've seen, and we've talked about it so many times on your show. There's two key things you want to look for in races down the hill. The first and the most important is previous success down the hill. And Belvoir Bay is certainly proven now that she's one of these hillside specialists. I mean, she cuts that corner. She's so agile, and she takes to that tricky course just so wonderfully. And she's starting to get bet like it, because previously she hadn't been being favored in these races. And I actually was sitting there, Kanaya is always getting bet in these races down the hill, and I was even kind of hemming and hawing which one to make favored. And I thought, you know, considering Belvoir Bay just won that race against the boys and beat Kanaya in the San Simeon, you know, I got to go there. And she did go solidly favored in this race. But the other thing, of course, that you want to look for down the hill that is no secret anymore, and that's horses cutting back in distance. So those cutbacks do very, very well coming down the hill too. So those are the first two things you basically want to look at when trying to pick a winner in a race down the hill at Santa Anita.
Absolutely. Hammer taught me that years ago when I was struggling with the hill course. And
I was kind of intimidated by it for a long time, and I didn't particularly like these hillside races. But once you kind of, you know, get a little confidence because you figure out some of these successful angles, you know, then you're not intimidated anymore, and actually you kind of look forward to them.
No doubt. And before we wrap up, John, I also want to slip in the Black Pearl win, factor of one. I mentioned in passing yesterday, but that really enhanced the weekend for the Rancho Temecula group, Red Barons Farm barn, and the Glatt trainee with Stevens wins down the hill on Sunday. And, of course, it's in the post. It won on Saturday. So a nice weekend for the Red Barons team.
Boy, that Red Barons team is really doing well. And, of course, it's kind of nice when you just get a horse like, and it's in the post to be your leader of your operation. That's a pretty darn good leader. But as you say, they got that other nice stake win. And always happy to see Mark Glatt win. I was very close to his father for many, many years back in the Northwest. Ron Glatt actually held the record for most wins at a meet for a year at Playfair, my hometown. And Ron Glatt, a very successful trainer for many years at Long Acres. And in fact, Ron Glatt had a hand in Bolt D'Oro as he was training him before he got sent to Ruiz at Santa Anita. And speaking of Bolt D'Oro, you alluded to, how about this 57 flat workout by him at Keeneland? I mean, you know, and I looked at that right there, Steve, and that to me, again, is further testament to what we're dealing with Justified to a certain extent, because you were here for the Santa Anita Derby. And look, Bolt D'Oro ran a good race in the Santa Anita Derby. He took not one, but two serious runs at Justify. And Justify essentially just toyed with this Bolt D'Oro that day. I mean, he really did. And to toy with a horse of the magnitude of Bolt D'Oro, and then to me what's impressive about Justify is to run all the way down the lane at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby with last year's two-year-old male champ, Good Magic, trying his heart out all the way down the lane to catch you, and he just can't close the gap. And then in the Preakness, when Good Magic, to me, sensibly took the race right to Justify, because if you don't go with Justify, Justify to me would have won the Preakness by a bigger margin. It's that simple. If he hadn't been involved in this tussle for, as Mike Smith has said, for like seven furlongs, a seven furlong tussle with an Eclipse Award winning champion, you know, if Justify is just out there on his own, he doesn't win by a half length. He would have won by more to me. And, so when you see what Justify has done with, to me, horses I really respect. I respect Bolt D'Oro. I respect Good Magic. These are really good horses. And so it's sort of like American Pharoah. I respected Dortmund. I respected Frosted. I mean, there were horses from that crop that I had a lot of respect for that American Pharoah just, you know, showed that he was superior to. And I think that's the same situation. You know, when I saw the 57 work, I mean, that's just, wow. I mean, that's what a workout for Bolt D'Oro. That Met Mile's going to be some race, isn't it?
Should be good. I mean, you got plenty of sprint speed that should, you know, keep it honest and spirited, and we'll see who else lines up. I love that he's doing this. I think it's a very smart maneuver by Mick Ruiz to run him in the Met. He could be very good for him, no matter what the rest of the year.
More people with 3-year-olds similar to this have not.
Yeah,
practiced,
agree.
Honestly, and especially since you get such a good weight break, you know, against the older. I mean, Lucas wasn't shy about doing it. I can tell you that, and. You know, of course, we think back to Woody Stevens. He pulled it off with Conquistador Cielo and then came back like 5 days later and won the Belmont. One of Woody's, in fact, that kicked off the five straight Woody Stevens Belmonts. And to me, I still feel, I have to say, what do you think was the greatest training achievement in the history of American racing? I can't come up with one better than Woody Stevens winning five straight Belmonts. I don't think we'll ever see a guy win another five straight Belmonts. And I will say that one that ranks right up there to me when we're going to make the list is Bob Baffert, coming back five times with Derby winners, Kentucky Derby winners, and winning the Preakness. To me, that ranks right up there among the finest training accomplishments we've ever seen, you know, especially with that two-week turnaround. And how many horses have we seen win that Kentucky Derby and then, you know, not be able to come back and run well in the Preakness? And Baffert 5-for-5 doing that's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, the magic number being 5. We'll fold in Kelso's 5 Jockey Club Gold Cups as well.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah, that we're not going to see that. Sure. Yeah, 1960 to 64. John White, everybody, and John, you will be joining me getting ready for the Belmont Stakes wagering guide, which comes out Friday for everybody to dig into, and then updates next Tuesday. We'll take a break here, and we got Dick Powell coming, Andy Serling, Jeremy Plonk, and trying to catch Baffert before he gets on the plane. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 15 to the top of the hour. Bob Baffert on his way back to California after spending a nice weekend plus in Louisville watching Justify prepare for the Triple Crown try today. A very sharp, effortless half mile where he looked terrific, but it was a great weekend for the Baffert barn overall, because you look to the performance by Marley's Freedom. Terrific winning on Sunday, taking the Desert Stormer. Dr. Door, Bob, with a terrific game effort behind Accelerate in the Gold Cup as well. Good morning.
Good morning. We're just here in Kentucky getting ready to go back home.
Well, plenty to look forward to, Bob, on all fronts. Let's get the Justified news up front. Saw the workout at 7:30. Restoring Hope worked earlier, but you sounded just delighted with the way Justify has come out of Preakness, and here he is midway toward the Belmont.
Yeah, I was, you know, the track with the rain, had a little bit worried, but the track, man, he had this track so, he had it just perfect, and it was a little bit deeper in the morning, but he went over it a couple times, a little rain there, so it was nice and tight and fast, and he just bounced over it. It's nice to have him work on a track that's normal track. So he went around there. He went like five. I got him 5/8, 59 and 4, just cruising there, like like he usually does. And he pulled up, looked great, came back. He just, there was nothing for him. And I, you know, he just, you know, that's what you want to see coming out of the, out of the Preakness like that. So we'll give him probably one more word, sort of like that little 5/8, and he should be ready to go. So as long as he just stays, you know, every day is different, but as long as he just stays at that, like that, and we're, I feel real good about it.
Well, he galloped out midway to the back stretch, and it felt like it was one of those in-between works where he wanted to take a little steam out, and that he was asking to do more. You can see it in the mornings. You had the wet weather the other day where he really didn't get a chance to do anything, and one more similar kind of work, or are you just maintenance mode?
I play. It depends how the track is. You know, that's the whole Kings, you know. So I worked the track, and I watch the rider, and I watch with the, I got the radio and the watch. So I just, you know, today he was just doing it really easy, and the track was a little bit probably quicker than it usually is. So you just play the track.
But nice.
Martin knows what I want, you know.
Well, and got the thumbs up from him and from you. Weight wise, did you guys take him to the scale?
No, I don't lead him out anymore. He stays indoors. We're not going to lead him across the scale's way across the barn area. I'm not taking any chance with him. He's probably get hit by a truck or something. No way.
But you're happy.
Though. I mean, I don't have to weigh him. He looks very healthy. So,
all right.
Yes, his weight. He's held his weight really well because he's such a good doer.
Nice. Restoring Hope is kind of in the shadow. What were your thoughts on him?
You know, Gary West. He thought. You know, he wants to take him up there as long as he doesn't embarrass us. And you know, he's a horse I've always been very high on, and he actually worked well. I worked him 7/8. At 6 o'clock today, and he went around there. Florent worked him, and he went like in 20. I got him like in 25 and 4, and galloped out 140. But he did it the right way. He wasn't, and he was just kept going. Like, you know, he's like a sort of a one pace type of horse, and so and he looks beautiful. I mean, he really looks like like he's really, you know, he used to be like a heavy type horse, and now he looks really healthy and beautiful, his coat and everything. So so we'll just see how he works next week. But, I mean, he's the kind of horse that, I mean, he's as good as some of those horses in there.
Sure.
That are running. So,
we'll
play by ear.
Well, and of course, if Gary
we're
West coming,
at
he can
like the easy goer there. But I think one turn is not his thing, because the Tadney Mile, he just got away from him there, never got on track.
Well, I can't blame West for wanting to, you know, this is your last shot at it as a 3-year-old in terms of the classics, and why not? And one paced works well at in the Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you need, you know, and I think. You know, he ran that well. You know, when I ran him in the wood, you know, he broke and he was there. Then he sort of got shuffled back. Then he came in, and at the end there, he's sort of coming back on again. It was still green and chipped and everything. So, but he's really developed since then.
Let's get in a couple of the recaps from the weekend, because you had to be very pleased overall with the way things went. Dr. Dorr, what a great story Dr. Dorr is, and did everything but win. And he was certainly game holding off City of Light down the stretch to hold second.
Yeah, he's been a project, that little horse, you know, and so but you know, just it's easier when you own him. You can just be patient with him, and so he's, you know, he's finally come around. And going two turns is, you know, he's getting, you know, I think he's looking at Lucky's. You just give him the time, and they just get better with age. And he's having a great, he's having a big year looking at Lucky. And I actually saw him yesterday. He looked fantastic. I saw him in American Pharoah. So But it's good to see when your offspring, you know, looking at Lucky, he was a really good horse, you know, and he was a wind machine. He was so much fun to have. And so good to see that he's finally getting some runners, and you like to see that.
It was a huge weekend for him, Bob. I mean, you finished second with Dr. Door. Accelerate is looking at Lucky as well, the win. And Money Multiplier won at Monmouth as well. Big weekend for looking at Lucky. You know, you mentioned the trip, and you stopped at Ashford to see Pharaoh. And I did read where you said it gets you emotional when you see him.
Yeah, I do. You know, because I think it was such a... It was such a great journey. It was so much fun, and you know, with the Zayats, we had just a ton, really a lot of fun. You know, just going through it all, and so when I see him, and he's such a sweet horse. I mean, he's just so smart, and he looks fantastic. He's grown. He's actually gotten taller, and he's about the same size as Justify. I mean, he got big, that horse. They were telling me he weighs 1,350 pounds, and he weighed 1,175 when I delivered him. I mean, that's a big horse.
Well, and it's not as if covering stallions in two hemispheres, that's plenty of. It's not like he's not getting exercised. I mean, that's just maturity, physical maturity.
You never know it by looking at him.
Amazing, amazing. Marley's Freedom, Bob, looks like she's a major player going forward in the division.
Yeah, she was quite a surprise there, getting her. And so, but you know, she came to us, she was in great shape, and there was just, I don't know what happened there. There was just something went on there. And, she, like when I got her from Bob Hess, she looked great. I mean, I can't really take too much credit for that. So she just, you know, Ray set up for her. She sat on the outside. That speed duel was going on in there. And so, you know, you can't do that at San Diego. That track's so deep. But it was nice to, you know, that, you know, she got a win. And Blaine, he's coming to life. He's starting to get some runners, you know. So, you know, just, you know, but I think a lot of it is that we just try to, you know, we try to push these horses so early. And a lot of them, they're not bred for it. And you just got to give them the time. So I think just the maturity is, you know, helps them.
Well, clearly, a lot of things to be excited about. And I even saw that Jill got a win with the man over the weekend.
Now, that was the important one right there.
I was going to say.
The man did it. He in the slop. I actually forgot that he was in. And Jill, all of a sudden, I get this text. Hey, the man, I was landing here in Louisville. You know, John Service and his team, they've done a great job with him. So they're excited about him. He's just a wind machine. He's a lot of fun, that horse.
No, it was a very good weekend for Jill. She, between a grade one placement and the man
one that
winning
sort of
in Philly.
I felt bad is Mutahiz. He ran real flat in Texas. I don't know. I think the heat got him. He was, you know, Mike Smith said he was just dull, just didn't run his race. And so that was sort of disappointing. But otherwise, we're, you know, just count your blessings. We, you know, everything went well. And I even had a horse win on Memorial Day named Super Patriot, so that's pretty good.
I saw that, the maiden breaker for Super Patriot. That's true.
But we
final
have
question.
With a name like that.
Absolutely. Well, and how about Justify's brother winning for Mike McCarthy?
Oh, did he win that race up there?
Yeah, he won the All-American.
Hey, well, that's good, because I was talking to Mike. He says, hey, maybe he'll wake up. Well, that's good.
You should watch that. He won very well. He was explosive down the stretch. Ty Connor rode him like a Hall of Famer. The kid.
That's good. I'll have to tell
one last question. Time. One last question, Bob. You made me think of how are you the Triple Crown run comparing to Pharaoh and Justify? What's different this time around from your perspective?
Well, I think the difference is that it, you know, it had been 37 years, and, you know, we weren't sure if it could be done. So we're like, you know, sort of going in there, well, I think we're good. I think this could be the horse, but, you know, you don't know for sure until you lead them up there. But and so now it feels like, I think it feels like less pressure, like, well, if it's possible, if the horse is doing well, if he's the horse you think he is, maybe he'll do it. But you still need some luck. And so so it's not as, you know, I think I'll probably enjoy this one, you know, going in a little bit more because, you know, we've done it. And it was different. You know, it was a lot of fun, the Zayed family. And, you know, we were all like, it was just like we were just pinching ourselves the whole journey and all. And but now it's like we're going into it. Like, you know, my job is just to have them ready, and hopefully, you know, when he gets on that plane, he gets there, everything goes well, and, you know, you still need to break well and see what happens. And I'd like to get some nice wet and get a dry track for this guy.
That'd be nice, yeah. Well, back to California, and then you'll come back again next weekend at the near the end of the week. Stay on the East
Alrighty.
Coast from that
thanks
point
for
forward.
Having me.
Bob, thanks. We appreciate it. And Justify ships a week from tomorrow on the 6th and sets up shop in New York and typically at the Terra Nova barn, and they'll make their way toward the Triple Crown Tri. Bob Baffert off a big weekend with the other performances, and I'm glad he brought up Mupdahij. I had kind of forgotten about the Mupdahij's presence in there. But second for him, so behind Shotgun Cowboy chasing all the way. Let's take the break here. And speaking of New York and the Triple Crown Try, Andy Serling is going to join us next. We'll talk to Andy about the holiday weekend racing and start to look ahead as well. Back after this, Hour 3 at the Races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
This is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.